Hello everyone, and welcome to the first agenda for the meeting today, which is on the discussion paper, Business Combination, Goodwill and Impairment. As you might be aware, the board published this discussion paper in March this year. It is focused primarily on exploring ways to improve disclosures about acquisitions, as well as ways to improve the subsequent accounting of goodwill. The deadline for submitting comment letters is the end of the year. During the comment period, with the help of ASAP members, we have performed various outreach meetings with different stakeholder groups and gathered some feedback on the preliminary views that were being expressed in the DP. As we are approaching the end of the comment period, we would like to take the opportunity at this meeting to discuss with members the initial feedback that the board has received so far. We also hope to discuss plans that members might have to help stimulate feedback for the DP from now to the end of the comment period. We have included a summary of the initial feedback that we have received from outreach activities as an appendix to this paper. Questions for members are on slide 5 of the agenda paper. Perhaps if I could ask about ASAP members' plans for the outreach activities first, and we'll come on to what you might have heard in your activities in a minute. So first, wonder if you're able to share with us what are the kind of outreach activities that you have performed to date, and perhaps also on the plans for outreach activities in the upcoming months as well. So with that, I would like to open up the floor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So if you could just put in chat if you want to talk about what outreach you've done or are planning that you would like to share with the group. Kiara.
Yes, thank you. So we are busy now putting together our outreach plan. What we know from the CFSSB members, the Consultative Forum of Standard Setter, is that so far the input is limited because there has been a focus from constituents on PFS. So despite our letter, for example, was already out in May, it's difficult so far to attract the attention on two parallel projects of this complexity and importance. However, we are having, we collected availability from several European jurisdictions to have events like we have done, for example, jointly with the ISB on PFS. In mainly in October, there will be one in mainly in November. Sorry, there will be one in October in Denmark, then Norway, Italy, Benelux, and German, and Germany also may be interested. Perhaps also the UK in November. We have also launched a survey with preparers. We are collecting now availability for these surveys and interviews. We have experienced difficulties this time, and this I think is also from your side, Sue, to engage, to find preparers really ready to engage in a full field test, doing an example of disclosure. So I think it's good to have these events that we have collected already, the availability. Our staff is in touch with your staff, so we are optimistic that we can put this together. But we are having some difficulties due to concurring other consultations so far.
Maybe we'll be, once the PFS letters have come, an opportunity to focus on this document, which would be good. Okay, thanks, Kiara. Linda? You're on mute, Linda. Still on mute. Okay, Alberto, do you want to come in, and then we'll come back to Linda? You're also on mute.
Sorry. We are planning an outreach in November. The exact date has not yet been decided. It will be together with EU, ISB, and with the IFRAG, as already Chiara mentioned.
Thank you, Alberto. Linda, have you had any luck? Okay, Simon, can you, would you be able to help Linda for me, please? You.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sue. I would like to share what we did in the past few months. First, we translated the full text of the DP into Chinese and solicited public opinions from the whole country. So far, we received, I would say that not a quite not a limited input from the stakeholders. And second, we further solicited opinions from the advisory committee of the China Accounting Standards Committee. And based on what we received, we are now working on the summarizing all the comments. And meanwhile, we also carried out some research on goodwill. For example, summarize and analyze the goodwill data of the local listed companies in China. So in the next few months, we plan to continue to collect feedbacks from stakeholders in various ways. Maybe we will conduct some outreach, some discussion roundtable with the stakeholders in China. And finally, hopefully provide our formal comments by the end of December. Thank you.
Thank you, Yu. I think Linda's still got challenges. So Raymond?
Thank you, Sue. I think as with everybody else, we've had quite a torrid time trying to get people to comment during this period because people just simply can't get together. But we have had some comments coming through from some of the bigger institutes in across the region. There is a change going on at PAFA at the moment from on the technical side, Technical Standard Setters Forum. So we're hoping that in the next month or so, we will start to get a little bit more feedback coming through from the various constituents, and which will then feed back into the process for comment back to you. But we should have some comments back to you by the end of the year, by the date that all the comments are supposed to be in by.
End of the year, so that's perfect. Okay, thank you very much. I think Linda's gone and she's going to try coming back in again. So does anybody else want to talk about outreach? Mark.
Thank you. Just to say, we have carried out some limited outreach with some of our stakeholders and also discussed the paper with our advisory council. We hope to be carrying out some further outreach, but part of the challenge for us is we're just dealing with the sort of handover of arrangements between the FRC and the new endorsement board that the government is setting up to endorse IFRS standards. I think one of the things that I would say is sort of based on the discussions that we've had, it's difficult to arrive at a consensus amongst those stakeholders of the likely sort of ways forward. But of course, with a subject like this, it does have some quite polarising views, and we'll continue to engage more widely with stakeholders to see if we can pull together some clearer messages to support the board in its further deliberation of this subject, because it clearly is a very important one. The only other thing I'd say is of course, from a UK perspective, anything on this subject is also something that there's quite a lot of parliamentary interest around. That's not always, you know, that's not always from a sort of typical perspective, but it is certainly a topic that will continue to generate a lot of interest.
Okay. Thank you, Mark, and welcome. Jeho.
Okay, thank you. Soon after the discussion paper was published, we approached some preparers and users, but unfortunately, we were able to do outreach to a limited number of preparers and users due to the pandemic. But apart from this outreach, we also analyzed the discussion paper published by the ISB for our domestic stakeholders. So we published our own analysis report for review of our stakeholders. So we published this analysis report in August, and then we are now in comment period. So we are supposed to collect the feedback from our stakeholders by the end of November, and then we will table this feedback on the KSB meeting in December, and then we could put together all of the feedback and then we submit this comment letter to the ISB. Meanwhile, we are planning to do additional outreach to more preparers and users. Maybe it could happen in November, I guess.
Thank you, Jeho. Linda, we'll see if the disconnect and reconnect has worked its magic.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, magic has worked.
Oh, as always, if you have to reboot. All right, so what I was starting to say was similar to Kiara. Initially, we had a lot of difficulty attracting people to this topic because everybody wanted to talk about PFS, which is a good thing, But then we were able to target. So what we decided to do, we focused on some of our own advisory groups. So to date, we have been able to talk to about 125 stakeholders. It's our user advisory committee, our academic advisory committee, our cannabis industry task force, oil and gas task force, the mining task force, our IFRS discussion group. And we had a special session with the Chartered Business Valuators Institute here in Canada. We also did two small virtual roundtables. And so that is comprising who we talked to so far. We do have other outreach planned, but one of the things we did in our outreach is we set out initial surveys, and I can't give you all of those today because it would take too long, but one of the things that was most interesting is when we did the initial survey with our user advisory committee, and we asked them, do you currently receive sufficient information about acquisitions to evaluate the performance of the acquisition? 75% of them said no, and they were very clear about it. So it's clear that people want more and different information from what we've done so far, but over the next month and a half, we have more planned.
Okay, thank you. Sound like you've been busy. Okay, Patrick.
Thank you, Sue. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I hope it's done. Do you hear echo as well?
We do.
Ah. I try to speak slowly.
Okay. We can understand if you speak slowly.
Thank you. The ANC did not organize an outreach per se due to the conditions. However, we have created a working group with all stakeholders, and instead of one big session, we have several sessions dedicated to the key topics that are under discussion. It's true that the polarization which has been mentioned in terms of underlying vision is also a fact in France, However, the idea to improve potentially the test is being explored, i.e. the preliminary view mentioned on slide 4 under question 2A, can the impairment test be made more effective? And the answer being potentially not significantly and not at a reasonable cost, there is an attempt to try to find improvements that would be reasonable in terms of cost.
Thank you, Patrick. And despite the challenge, that was clear. Thank you very much. Rodrigo?
Thank you, Sue. We already have our outreach here in our jurisdiction. The main point here is about the goodwill. It should be or not amortized. In fact, we are not convinced that the impairment is the best alternative, but to be honest, we don't have a new argument to say that goodwill should be amortized. But it's not a simple point for us here. I already received some feedbacks, and you have a common concern in our jurisdictions is related to sensitive information. The point is nobody wants to give strategic or sensitive information. And what the point is, what do you believe? We believe that prepares will say something like, we don't have the information, then assume the risk to make some critical information public. I don't know if I make me clean, but I think they will find a way to not make the critical or relevant information public. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. There's nobody else who's got their name down in the chat wanting to talk about outreach. So I'm speaking slowly in case anybody wants to quickly type. Otherwise, I'm going to hand back to Deho to move on to maybe some of the feedback we've been hearing.
Okay, thank you everyone for your comments. So for those who have had some discussion about the board's preliminary views, then we would like to hear more about the feedback that you have received. We would like to know if ASF members had heard any similar or different feedback as what the board has. We are also particularly interested in knowing if members have any or they have come across any suggestion during their outreach on how some of the issues that were being identified for the project might potentially be resolved. We will, of course, also welcome any general comment or question that members might have on the feedback that the board has received so far. So with that, I would like to open up the floor for discussion. Thank you.
Thanks, Deho. So in the interest of time, we've assumed you've had a chance to look at the slides with the feedback, but of course, if there's any questions you want to ask about the feedback, it's a good opportunity to do that as well, or anything you've been hearing that's the same or different, and importantly, any suggestions you've got for how we can address any of the things that people are raising. Okay, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Sue. Maybe one on, I didn't speak on outreach, but we do have a parallel project. Of course, our standards are if not fully converged, almost fully converged at this point. And so we've done a lot of outreach on goodwill that we will, of course, continue to share with the ISB that while we have a parallel project, our timing, it will not be such that we don't benefit from all of the input that's received on the discussion paper. Maybe on what we're hearing, our focus has really been on the impairment test first and then secondarily on disclosure. And we've had discussions with each of our advisory committees, including throughout the pandemic, although that has slowed down the pace of our work, just as stakeholders are focused on other activities. Interestingly enough, at our most recent advisory committees, some stakeholders have now expressed a concern that perhaps the impairment test applied, as applied in the US, is resulting in impairments that are too much too early. So the last criticism was impairment was too little too late. Stakeholders to date have said, well, if they calculated an impairment in March, they didn't have the benefit of, at least to this point, subsequent recovery. And so they were taking impairments that they believed were not other than temporary, or they believed were temporary impairments, almost expressing a view that the impairment test as implied results in impairment too early, which is again, just very early feedback, but an odd criticism given what we heard last time around. It really does cause us, as we think about continued improvement to impairment, whether that model should move toward an amortization model. And in fact, the board took a directional vote in July to pursue an amortization approach. I say directional because that is not to the point where we would say it is certainly ready for any type of due process document. That's the directional feeling of the board, but we haven't worked through the mechanics, life, how you would determine it, the impairment test that would still be required in any event. So there's a lot of work for us to do before we would get to the point of a due process document. So we're focused secondarily on disclosures because our project is really thinking about the accounting first, and then our disclosure discussion would be at least initially more limited to disclosures about goodwill as opposed to acquisition disclosures. But we do look forward to certainly learning from what you hear in your exposure document or your initial paper, and that may help shape the direction of what we do. One of the other comments that of course comes up is that they are converged standards and by many and certainly large globally active institutions, a strong desire for us to remain in parallel.
Okay, thanks, Jim. And on that last point, I think we're keen to make sure we share as much information between us on our separate projects as we can. So that's good. Okay, thank you. Chiara.
Yes, thank you. We issued our draft comment letter, including several additional questions to constituents in May. Our preliminary views are, I would say, broadly in line with the feedback that you reported in the presentation. For example, on disclosure, we are concerned about the disconnect between this proposal and the issue to solve the accounting problems for goodwill. So one of the possible solutions that was mentioned in our letter was to use the new disclosures, which is managerial, as an anchor point for the level at which the goodwill could be allocated to cash generating units. This was an example. And we also question whether this information, which is non-GAAP and based on management expectation, would better sit in the management commentary instead of financial reporting, financial statements. And this is subject to consultation with our stakeholders. Talking to members of the consultative forum of standard setters, they confirm the practical concerns about availability of the information due to the integration or divestments that may be done in the meanwhile, but also commercial sensitiveness. This was a very strong point up to that the point that some mentioned possible legal consequences and impact, a broad impact on competition. But there were also concerns about verifiability of this type of information. Similarly to what was already said before, the preparers also wonder how users would react to the information that the entity stops monitoring the information from a management stewardship point of view. What else about disclosures? Yes, the idea, the disclosure we think are useful, the specific disclosures on synergies, for example, at the point that we would suggest to consider these disclosures also for other components of goodwill, which could be equally beneficial. But the point is whether the benefits provided by these disclosure on synergies will outweigh the cost, mainly due to the reliability of the information, because this information will depend on the internal definition of synergies, and we understand that there are different ways to define synergies. So this is something to think a bit more. On the goodwill impairment amortization, it was already mentioned by a couple of members. Views are split, and also in the CFSS meeting, views expressed views were split, not only between jurisdictions, but also in the same jurisdiction. We didn't form a view where amortization should be introduced in our comment letter. We are consulting on this. And we are seeking in particular really to see if there are new evidence, a new argument to support the introduction of impairment. I need to say that during the CFSS meeting, there were jurisdictions that think that there are new appreciations of, so that the existing elements have become now more important. For example, now the ratio of goodwill on equity ratios is dramatically increased in recent years. So despite not being a new argument, this could offer another good reason to go for a practical approach and accept amortization despite the lack of a strong conceptual reason. And then we also have a list of possible improvements to the existing test. I think you may have a look to our comment letter about the reallocation, the allocation of to cash generating unit at a more granular level with a rebuttable presumption, for example, that it should be done lower than the segment reporting, additional guidance on the reallocation of goodwill or the allocation of goodwill when a unit is disposed. And we are also consulting on possible disclosure to mitigate the over-optimism, like, such as, for example, the explaining better how the entity has performed in making their prediction, were they correct in line with the budget or not, and provide more clear assumptions about the growth estimates assumed in the intermediate period between the explicit period and the terminal value. We disagreed with introduction of an indicator-only approach because this could overemphasize the problems that we already have now with the goodwill. I think this was mainly the key points so far.
Thank you, Chiara. Craig, you wanted to ask a question. Do you want to do that now, or do you want to wait?
And
Nobu.
Hey, thank you. I didn't raise my hand in the earlier discussions, but we are conducting outreach with users, preparers, and auditors, and actually doing a lot of in-depth interviews to understand why they like or dislike your proposals. We haven't finished all those interviews yet. And to whatever I say today is preliminary, but I'll try to summarize the points into three categories. The first category I want to talk about is the objective of this project. The stakeholders we talked to are not very convinced with your objective, which is to explore whether entities can provide investors with more useful information about acquisitions. They strongly believe that the objective should be to resolve the issues that were raised under the PIR of IFRS 3. And in their view, they really want to focus on the issue that impairment losses may be recognized too late. And the proposals don't necessarily directly address that issue. My second category of issues is about the proposed disclosures. Users tend to agree with the proposals, and the preparers tend to disagree with the proposals. As a standard setter, we think there are two issues that need to be resolved by the IASB. One is that the proposed disclosures do not necessarily directly address the issue about the amount of goodwill on the balance sheet. The proposals give you background information or supplementary information about the acquisition, but they don't directly go into what goodwill is or the impairment losses are in the income statement. So I think people are not necessarily convinced with how the proposed disclosures would actually resolve the issues that were raised in the PIR. The second issue that we identify is that this debate about whether the information should be provided in the financial statements or outside the financial statements. And we think the conceptual framework nor any IFRS standard is very clear on what kind of information should go into the notes and what should be outside the notes. And therefore, there's a continuous debate as where to draw the line and whether these specific proposals should be within the financial statements or outside. The third category is about the subsequent accounting. On that, we still are conducting the interview, so we still haven't concluded one way or the other. But we think we have two points to raise today. The one is about this argument about new evidence or arguments. And I think, in our view, new evidence should come in anything that came out after the issuance of IFRS 3 should be new evidence. And therefore, the fact that we presented in 2016 about the quantitative study, about the goodwill balance accumulating, and all that should be new evidence in our view. And therefore, that should be taken into account. It doesn't necessarily mean that the new evidence comes out after the DP was issued or anything like that. A second is what Jim raised earlier, is that we expect that the FASB and the ISB work together and hope that they work closely to, so that both boards change their respective standards in the way we would like. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nobu. Mark.
Thank you. Just to sort of pick up on a couple of the issues, certainly our engagement to date is strongly aligned with the point that Chiara was making about extended disclosure and what that might do in respect of commercial sensitivity. And we're going to be carrying out further stakeholder engagement to get views on the implications of that. We believe it may be potentially problematic. I did say when I spoke earlier that goodwill is one of those polarizing discussions. I have to say that sort of based on the conversations we've had so far, people have been supportive of impairment, amortization, a mix of the two, and you know, there is a broad range of different views there. I have to say, and I think it's more of a personal perspective, and that is that I think increasingly people are asking questions, difficult questions about the recognition of goodwill and the continuing relevance of having on the balance sheet a valuation of goodwill that has, let's say, a degree of longevity. So many years after an acquisition, there's still a goodwill balance sitting there. People are saying, is that questionable? And I think that might, you know, weigh a little more on the side of the debate, which says that there might be some usefulness in the annual amount, in having sort of an annual amortization going through. But I say we will be carrying out significant further outreach to try and inform that and to see whether we can identify whether there is more of a consensus emerging. So I think that's something important. And then my only other comment on the paper is that obviously, although I understand the potential benefits of simplification, in particular with the impairment test and what might be done, my sort of default position is that my background is very much as an audit standard setter. And I wonder what the implications of this are for the ability of the auditor to be able to robustly challenge management. And I have a slight nervousness that, given that this is such an important area, it may propose some solutions that work well from a financial reporting perspective, but not necessarily from an audit perspective. And I think that we need to try and bottom those out in terms of our response to you. So those are sort of my headline thoughts.
Thank you, Mark. Linda.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. I'm a little sensitive about the mic. So a lot of commonality with what I've heard from others, but I'll try to highlight things quickly. So in terms of the disclosure proposals, mostly it's consistent with what others have said. Users are supportive of the disclosures. Preparers are a bit concerned. One of the things that came up in our discussions with preparers was that often the types of metrics they would use are considered non-GAAP in our jurisdiction, which would mean they would go in the MD&A with a reconciliation. So we got into this discussion also with PFS about management performance measures. So some are trying to work their way through how they would accommodate putting things in the financial statements that previously they'd restricted to their management commentary. So that did come out. In terms of amortization, there is some interest across the groups in talking about reintroducing amortization. The only group that wasn't interested were academics, and their view is that it should be immediately written. Goodwill should be immediately written off to equity. They were the only group that made that comment, was the academics. The one thing that they said about amortization, though, the broader group, would be that it should be simple. And there was no uptake in the desire to see any componentization, because that would make it quite complex and perhaps subjective. In terms of the improvement of the current impairment test, the one thing that we didn't hear that we saw in your initial feedback was this notion of requesting disclosure of actual versus forecasted cash flows to discourage any over-optimism. We didn't hear any of that in our outreach. We didn't hear any concern over over-optimism in our outreach, and we're going to explore that in terms of perhaps why that's happening. There was some concern about commercial sensitivity as well in the disclosure proposals, and so there was a feeling that if we did require those cash flow disclosures, that preparers would probably have that concern as well. In terms of eliminating the annual impairment test, unless there's indicators, lots of concern over that. In our jurisdiction, a few years ago, we did some research and determined that about 80% of the impairments are actually taken at the time of the annual impairment test. And so there were mixed views, and certain users and practitioners felt that if we did away with the annual impairment test requirement, that we'd be losing some rigor that we currently have today. So there was some concern there. Good support for the value and use simplifications in terms of the fact that they think that will simplify things and make it more understandable. And no support whatsoever for the notion of the separate presentation of total equity excluding goodwill, because people feel they can easily do that themselves. So that was the range of feedback we've gotten so far.
Okay, I have to let Hans know they didn't like his idea.
Tell him not to take it personally.
I pray, why don't you come in now?
Sure. So the thing I wanted to say about integration was often we find that when we go and speak to preparers, their initial view on these disclosures are that, oh, it's not possible for us to work out these kind of numbers because we've integrated the business very quickly. But very often, when we then go on and ask, how do you know that the acquisition was a success or not, it often turns out that there is some kind of internal monitoring. And therefore, that kind of suggests to us that perhaps integration is not the real problem here. Perhaps might be that that information is not monitored by the CODM, or there's concerns about its reliability. And so it's just something I wanted to say that it might be worth bearing in mind at any outreach events that ASAP members are going to be doing in the future, in terms of if integration comes up, to ask, is there any information internally? Like, how do they know that acquisitions are a success? Because, yes, yeah, we often find there is some information.
Okay, thank you, Craig. Jai-ho?
Okay, thank you. We have obtained similar feedback from our initial launch on discussion paper. As for the subsequent performance disclosure, some preparers believe that it's not suitable to disclose subsequent performance information in the notes to financial statement. They view that the information is highly subjective because the estimation and judgment by the management are inevitable. For example, if the management selects and targets a specific metric among others, it means a significant judgment has been involved. Also, after choosing a metric to measure the achievement of the objective, the management has to set a target number for the target metric based on the estimation of the future forecast. And secondly, some preparers are confused about how the materiality judgment can be applied to the subsequent performance disclosure. In particular, they are not sure whether the management would still be required to disclose the fact and reason if it did not monitor an acquired business as a result of its own materiality judgment. And thirdly, some users are concerned that quantifying synergy effects could not produce reliable information, as it entails a high degree of forecast. So these users think that it is very difficult for the auditors to attest that number of synergy effects. And as for the presentation of total equity, excluding goodwill, we have received positive feedback from both users and preparers. Some users noted that they already calculate equity, excluding goodwill, on their own and use it in their analysis. And some preparers observed that this logic is very similar to the BIS capital adequacy ratio calculation. They noted that the BIS capital adequacy ratio measures a bank's capital in relation to its risk-weighted assets, and this capital amount does not include goodwill. So these users and preparers questions whether the presentation of total equity excluding goodwill is based on the ISB's perception that goodwill lacks the quality of an asset. So they suggested including the ISB's rationale in the basis for conclusion on why such a presentation is required if the ISB goes on to take this proposal to the revised IFRS. Thank you.
Thank you. You.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sue. I have to say that based on the feedback we received so far, most of the feedbacks are similar with those listed in the slides. Just want to share two additional comments from the stakeholders. The first one is about the disclosure. Stakeholders agree that the disclosures will be useful, but they have some concerns. The concerns is that this kind of disclosure will increase the difficulty for auditing and the regulation, because to some extent, this kind of disclosure information depends on the internal management of an entity. So it's very difficult for auditors or regulators to justify the information. And besides, the cost will be very high. That's the first comments. The second one is about the requirement in current IFRS 3. Stakeholders suggest providing more guidance on how the pro forma information should be prepared. That's the second comment. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rico?
Thank you. I'm going to share some preliminary feedback from AOSSG members. For disclosures about acquisitions, some members received positive feedback from their stakeholders, which is that proposed disclosures would be useful for users of financial statements. But they also heard concerns on cost and audit difficulties. Some members heard concerns on making disclosures in the notes to financial statements, in particular on making disclosure of information about subsequent performance of acquisitions. One member does not support the disclosure requirement on subsequent performance of acquisitions. That member questioned whether this type of information would be required to meet the objectives of financial statements as proposed in the exposure draft, general presentation and disclosure, or whether this would be more appropriately dealt with in the ISBIS project to revise the management commentary practice statement. With regard to the accounting for goodwill, some members received mixed feedback from their stakeholders on whether to retain the impairment-only model or to reintroduce amortization, while some members support amortization. For removal of annual impairment test, some members heard concerns about disclosure when an entity does not perform an impairment test. Their stakeholders are concerned about the loss of the disclosures currently required by IAS 36 about the impairment test assumptions. One member suggests when an entity does not perform an impairment test, it should be required to disclose that fact and the reasons why. For other topics, some members heard concerns about the proposal to present total equity excluding goodwill, while some members received positive feedback. That's a summary, high-level summary of the comments from AOSSG members. Thank you.
Alberto.
Thank you. We had some discussion with selected groups of our stakeholders, and the comments received are very much in line with what Chiara already expressed, which is not surprising. There is a widespread disagreement about putting these additional disclosures into the notes to the financial statements instead of leaving them in the management commentary. The reasons are the ones which all we know. They are pretty much forward-looking information, are management expectations, and therefore putting in the notes would abbreviate the role and the work of the auditors, and also will give less freedom to the management to really express what they think. On the leaving aside the debate between amortization yes, amortization no, which is going on since ever, I think, but on the impairment, the general consensus is to be in agreement with using a post-tax rate, because this is the common practice already. There is instead disagreement in putting the expected reorganization and restructuring, because this would be too much arbitrary. I mean, people might think that they will do something in the next 3-4 years, but this is just, it's just maybe a wishful thinking. And of course, there is a suggestion to improve the rules about allocating the goodwill to the CGU, because we have noted that today there is a trend to use cash generating units too large, and therefore we and the standard says the minimum, but this is probably not always respected. And finally, there is a complete disagreement in showing equity less goodwill, because this would raise doubt about the real significance and the real value of goodwill. And after all, it's something which an analyst can easily calculate. Thank you.
Thank you. Chiara, did you want to add something?
Yeah, just quickly, there was one point which came also in our discussion and was mentioned before by Jim, perhaps to solve at least in part the disincentive to timely impair, look at the possibility to have a reversal of the impairment. This, and we are having a question in our comment letter now.
Okay, thank you. Raymond.
Okay, thank you, Sue. There's a lot of agreement on from our end with the intention of the changes that the board intends on, but there are some concerns that have been raised specifically around the disclosures that are being proposed. Similar to what a lot of people have said today, that there's some support and there's also some, well, we don't like what is being proposed here because it's going to be a lot of work. But I guess a lot of the concern is around the auditability of the information, and it's also around the commercial sensitive nature of the information that may be provided. In addition to that, there's also some concern around some of the information will be forward-looking information, and to what extent may that be may that not be in line with what may be allowed within the different jurisdictions. So I guess a lot of the jurisdictions are looking at their own rules, whether it be stock exchange rules and people like that, to try and understand what is permissible and what is not permissible, with respect to the information that they should be reporting, that they should be providing in their financial statements as part of their feedback process. With regard to the impairment process, the model that is used, there's some agreement that I think the there is a need to have. Well, there's an agreement that I think the current impairment model that is there, while it's not necessarily it's not foolproof, but it's working to an extent. So maybe to leave it as is for now. But I guess there's some additional comments that are coming through and that we will be providing some comments to you on. I think that's it from my end.
Thank you, Raymond. Patrick?
Thank you, Sue. Apologies again. So there is a general consensus that the proposed disclosures have the potential to deliver useful information. However, there is a need to tackle practical challenges as regards those disclosures. In order to avoid following a path that would ultimately turn out to be a dead end. So one way forward is certainly to concentrate on the way the CODM, and I would include government, approach the monitoring of acquisitions. And I also think that we shouldn't be restricted too much by the idea of confidentiality. Because anyway, forward-looking information is currently supporting the simulations made for impairment purposes. And you need clarity on that. So even if there is a level of reluctance on disclosures. I think at the moment in time, you need to choose between having clearer disclosures, maybe at a limited cost, and staying as we are, which is not satisfactory. Because the dead end might be that if disclosures are not improved, then people will say the easy solution is impairment, amortization instead of impairment. And in our view, we need to investigate further, but we don't see new information or new reasoning that would lead to a game changer in that debate of impairment versus amortization. Is there a good reason to change the existing accounting model, which would destabilize significantly a level of financial information we have lived with for the last 20 years or 15 years? By the way, the reintroduction of amortization would raise new additional questions. For instance, the period over which to amortize. Very difficult, you know, highly judgmental. So what could be a standard on this? It would not eliminate the need for impairment, in particular during the initial period following an acquisition, where the amount of goodwill will still remain significant, very significant. And last but not least, maybe the information on impairment is not perfect, but there is a fear that going to amortization would eliminate significant forward-looking information. Finally, in order to tackle the issue of too little, too late, which needs to be demonstrated at global level, there are maybe sectors where that occurred, or situations where that occurred. We see a number of improvements that could be analyzed. Maybe since goodwill is a residual amount, to have another look to identifiable assets in the purchase price allocation. Also, information about headroom or deviations between actuals and forecasts. Also, as it was mentioned by a number of participants, the question of the allocation of goodwill to TGUs, which is not easy, but can be monitored. Progress in terms of valuation on discounting rates, to avoid maybe to take on board volatility, the role of terminal values, and finally, a question which could be linked to to the too little too late syndrome, which is the impossibility to reverse. And quite frankly, the point which was mentioned by Jim, too much too early, if the reversal point was addressed, might be at least improved. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. And speaking of Jim, did you want to come in with another point?
I did have one additional point that I forgot to make, and that was as it relates to whether or not there should be an annual test versus indicator-only approach. And one of the things that we've heard recently is, even in the context of the situation we find ourselves in today, identifying an individual date in a short period of time can be a real challenge. That is, many impairments occur due to the development of multiple factors over a period of time. And so people have told us they're struggling to determine exactly when they had an indicator or whether they had an indicator, particularly as events unfold again over a period of time. I think the sense that we've heard from people is that certainly there are impairments that could be identified to individual events, but the much more likely scenarios are that impairment really develops or economic factors change over a period of time. And so they've talked about the discipline that comes from having to look at that on a periodic basis, as opposed to waiting to identify that date or factor that caused an individual identifying item to result in impairment.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Rika, did you want to say something?
So thank you. Thank you for sharing your initial feedback today and your cooperation in conducting outreach meetings, interviews, events, so on, to solicit the feedback from your stakeholders. And we have already had many concerns about preparing proposed disclosure of acquisition, as same as many of you mentioned during this meeting. So in response to such feedback, during the comment period, we have the plan to conduct a fieldwork with some preparers in different jurisdictions. So by conducting outreach activities, as well as such fieldwork with some preparers and other stakeholders in different jurisdictions, we would like to understand more about practical issues and operational issues, and also start thinking about how we can improve the proposed disclosures in our preliminary views. So we appreciate your continuing cooperation. And I really think having those feedback is really crucial for us to move this project forward. So that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Rika. And just one sort of addition from my side, if I may, completely unauthorized, so hopefully not going to upset the staff. I think for us, and certainly it struck me when I've been out talking to some investors when we were working on the discussion paper, what I hadn't appreciated is how much goodwill is quite an accounting concept. So when you talk to investors, they think much more about acquisitions holistically. Why have you paid this much? Was it a good acquisition or not? And goodwill's quite an accounting thing, which I've spent so many hours of my life thinking about, I hadn't quite appreciated. So I know that some of our stakeholders would prefer that we were just talking about goodwill and whether or not it should be impaired or amortized. But I think from the board's perspective, this idea of looking at good information about acquisitions is a really, really important part of the proposals. I know that they're tough proposals, and I can see why from a preparer perspective there could be some challenges in preparing what, you know, the ideas that we've got in there. But I think if there's one thing that you could do that would really help us, it would be seeing if we can find a path where we can get some good and better information on acquisitions, which is feasible for preparers, and pushing back a little bit along the lines of what Patrick was saying on this idea that it's all commercially sensitive, because at the end of the day, these investors are being asked to take a view on whether or not these are good acquisitions, whether their money should be in these companies. And I think finding a way where they've got enough transparency but is still palatable and manageable with all regulatory constraints, et cetera, is going to be really important for us to move the project forward. Deho, I don't know whether you needed anything else from people before we wrap this session up.
Thank you. There's nothing else from my side.
Okay, excellent. We're a little bit ahead of schedule, so if people are okay, I was going to suggest that we go on to business combinations under common control now. See, we've certainly got our staff, UCC team. And Roberta, have we got Ernest? Is he available?
I can see
Sue,
that.
Sue, I leave the stage to Tommaso for this session. And I say goodbye to everyone. Bye.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Alberto. And is Tommaso available?
Yes, he must be.
Okay.
Vincent will take the chair as well. But I'll be back.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Patrick.